tell me what happened, how you discovered that there was something very wrong?
Well, it was the 11th of January 2012. Around half seven in the evening, I took her for a bath, as we used to most evenings, the two of us would have a bath together. And as I was washing her private parts, and she started screaming, and she literally jumped out of the bath, and she kept shouting, "Sore, sore, sore." So I told her to lie down, and I put a towel down on the ground. I told her to lie down, and I just checked her, and I couldn't see nothing. And then I asked her what was wrong, and she said, "Gary hurt me." And I text her sister downstairs to come up to me, and of course the wanted to go for Gary, but I stopped her. So I said, "Look, we'll just take her to the hospital or to the doctor."
And Gary was in the house at this stage?
He was still in the house, but of course I was afraid that he would take off, like, you know. I then came downstairs again, and I said to her dad, "Come on, let's bring the to our friends." We took off driving in the car, leaving Gary behind. And as we were driving over the road, then says to me, "God, you're very cranky this evening." And I said, "You would be cranky too if your child just told you that Gary was after hurting her." And he started screaming, of course, then. So he said, "We'll ring the doctor." So I rang Dr. And he says, "Take her straight to Tralee." So we went into Tralee. So we were seen by a doctor then and a nurse straight away. They spoke to her, and she told them what he was after doing. And they couldn't, you see, they couldn't do any examinations on her at that stage, because I suppose they just weren't qualified to maybe to do any tests or anything on a child that young. So they kept us in overnight, and social workers and the whole lot were involved. When they were coming out of the hospital at night, they rang the guards and they threw him out of the house. And he went down to a neighbour's house. This was, I suppose, about 2 o'clock in the morning. They made him ring the guards in because he was homeless, like, and tell the guards, and he told the guards we were after throwing him out of the house and that we had accused him of sexually abuse. And the guards then came to our house and took a statement. They went and they arrested Gary. They had to arrest him over the allegations, actually.
And his girlfriends, when did she learn of the allegation?
Well, she wasn't at home that evening, so I rang her and told her. When I was going into Tralee, I rang her and told her. She started screaming and roaring that she was going to kill him. Like, she was going home, she was going to kill him. And I said, "No, just you stay with your friends." Meanwhile, the guards were in contact with me and told me that I'd have to go to Cork with her to the Mercy Hospital on Friday, and the two guards would accompany me up. There was a nurse and a doctor there, but she was so distressed that I had to hold her down. It was horrific. Like, I was crying and she was crying. You know, it was obviously very frightening for her, like. But we got there. I just blamed myself that I allowed him into the house. So therefore, I allowed him to sexually abuse the child, you know? And I mean, I went for counselling. They told me the same thing. Don't be blaming yourself. Attending psychiatric treatment for it, like, as well. And that's ongoing now. That'll be going on for a while. And they've told me the same thing, but still, you know, no matter how many people tell me, I still blame myself.
Gary Clyde was sentenced at Tralee Circuit Court last week. The family that once treated him like one of their own feel very let down at his sentence. His victim's mother finds it very difficult to accept.
I think anyone that will tell you about the justice system in Ireland, I will turn around and I will say, like, there's no justice in Ireland. The justice system is just crap. I mean, I've been going through it for basically a year and a half, and no, I find it very, very bad. Like, I mean, a person can be caught with drugs or anything, like, and they might be sentenced to 3 or 4 years. Yes, Gary Clyde, he got 2 5-year sentences to run concurrent, and there was 2.5 years suspended, which left 2.5 years. He was in custody for 1.5 years, which left him to serve 1 year. There was 5 months taken off for good behaviour, which left 7 months, and now he's due to be freed in November. I mean, what justice is there?
Danny, is it not up to you, as you said, you're a publican yourself, and to get together with the other publicans in the local area and provide some sort of transportation service for these elderly people or isolated people that you say are living on their own and miss the company that the pub brings them?
We have been doing our best, like all other publicans, but we can only do so much. When they want a little bit of independence, that they can come. Certainly, if I have people in the bar and they need to be taken home, I'll take them home. Or if I see they need to be taken home, I take them home, as will every other publican, you know, that has the interest of the community at heart. In rural South Kerry, anywhere, for one, that I know about.
How is this going to be policed? The Garda stations are closing across Kerry. There are less Gardaí in the community. How are they going to be in the area to police something like this?
Well, I think it would, all it would necessitate is that the person would go to the local pub. And the local guard, or the nearest guard, I know that the local guard stations, a lot of them have been closed. I know that what I feel is that local guard should be able to vet the application, and maybe together with the superintendent, see if this is a worthy case. And certainly then, if he goes beyond that, if he's caught by another guardie, another guard or someone else, he'll have his permit. And if it's not right, or he's gone beyond his jurisdiction, he's breaking the rules in, and he'll have to face the law like anybody else.
In evidence, Detective Garda Tom Burke told Tralee Circuit Court on the night of the assault, Eamon Horan was walking the short distance home from his local pub when he was approached by 3 hooded youths. One of the youths, who was later identified as David Garbanowski, pushed Mr. Horan up against a wall and began striking him about the face. Mr. Horan fell to the ground, at which point Mr. Garbanowski climbed on top of him and demanded money. Mr. Horan was then kicked a number of times by the accused. As a taxi driver came across the scene, David Garbanowski fled, stealing €3 from Eamon Horan. Eamon Horan suffered a broken jaw and nose, as well as bruising to his face in the assault. He says he could not eat solid food for 1 year following the assault, has had to have special dentures fitted, and still has difficulty eating. He says he still suffers anxiety walking around Tralee and takes taxis more often than before he was assaulted. Judge Carol Moran said this case was as bad as he's seen in the 16 years he's served as a judge, as he jailed David Garbanowski for 3 years. Were you bullied in the past week?
I would say emotional bullying, yes. I definitely would say that, yeah, that I was, yeah. And I actually turned my phone off on Sunday because I could not listen to another call from... Because I'm not nasty, you see. I don't care what people believe in or who they are or what they are. I will never be nasty to them. So I don't expect that to be given to myself, do you know? I am a politician, so I know I have to expect certain things, but... you know, a bit of, I suppose, respect wouldn't have gone astray.
Yeah. Were you surprised at how the vote went, Gillian?
I was very surprised. Now, I hadn't lobbied my council colleagues, because I don't believe in that. As I said inside in the chamber, and I said it during the week, that democracy exists inside the chamber as it does outside the chamber. So everybody is entitled to their own opinion, whether we like it or whether we don't. And we saw that very much last month with another contentious motion. So no, I didn't lobby anybody. I left them do their own thing. And I suppose, you know, I was surprised at the level of the vote, really. I was delighted with that, you know.
Was there any stage in the past week that you considered watering down, or you considered actually 2 years is enough in politics, this isn't for me?
Alison, yesterday, if a flying saucer had come down and plucked me off the planet, I would have gladly gone on it. You know, I was dreading to... You know, I would have. I was quite dreading today because I just didn't know. And I also, you know, there was so much pressure on me all week from every side. I really wanted it to go through, not for myself, because it wouldn't, you know, as somebody said to me, you know, you're never again going to get elected after this, you know, when you start dancing with gays inside in the chamber. So probably my political career is probably over today anyway, so.
A short time later, the second anchor was recovered and both were ferried to Cove Harbour under the watchful eye of archaeologist Lawrence Dunn.
Run a doublet there.
I just want to see the point of impact. Yes, exactly.
What about this one now?
I want to see the off of the knob there. Okay, well, can we stop the swing there a second?
Yeah.
Are we stable now, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, what about here? Are we here?
Do you see that big middle matting? Shift the middle matting in.
Yeah, that's better.
A little bit more of an angle there. Are we under it all?
Yeah.
Okay, nice and gently, so Terry.
Slowly,
yeah. Well done.
Well done,
We're looking at the Admiralty pattern anchor, the streamy anchor off the yard. It's in great condition.
Yeah.
Concrete is coming off of his own cord, but pretty good condition. We really need to get it into the crate because it's already starting to flash. That's the sort of rust appearing on it quite rapidly. Won't do it any harm, but we don't want it to continue. This concrete is about to go short as well, so we need to get it down into the tank into a safe environment as soon as possible.
What weight are we looking at here?
About half a ton.
Councillor Cullity, do you feel like you watered down your motion today after pressure from your fellow councillors?
I changed it a little bit, all right. Yeah, maybe the wording did sound maybe a little confusing for some people, but I clarified it and I thought that would be adequate. The reason that the wording that I had was abortion under any circumstances in relation to legislation, not to abortion itself. So it might have been a little bit confusing, but as I said, when I clarified it in the first place, I thought it would be adequate, but obviously it wasn't. And I'm happy that the motion went through in the form that it did.
You're satisfied that you didn't compromise your views today, that you didn't water down your original motion?
I changed it a little bit, yeah, just to, because, as I said, people had an issue with the wording that I had. And, as I said, I clarified it as good as I could, but obviously it wasn't enough, and I had to change it, yeah.
You were criticised by Councillor Paul O'Donoghue, who is a party colleague, mm-hmm. for bringing a headline motion rather than a motion that actually would come to anything at all.
Yeah, I accepted that that was his position. He's entitled to that view. As I said, it has been. I know in Donegal, it's the very similar motion has gone through, and in other councils around the country as well. I believe there are six altogether, either five or six, I'm not quite certain. So I suppose he's entitled to his opinion. That's not a reason why I brought it. I certainly wouldn't, because I thought long and hard about it. I feel very strongly about it, and I certainly would not, under any circumstances, bring a motion to the council just for headlines. I respect what goes on inside the doors of that chamber, and under any circumstances, I wouldn't dream of doing such a thing. I thought long and hard about it. I found it hard to do in the sense that I know the road that I was going down with it, but I believe that by highlighting it and maybe let the legislator see out there, I would be contacting my own TDs and making my views known, and this was just another way of doing the same thing.
But did Paul O'Donoghue's criticism not just prove Terry O'Brien, Mayor of Kerry's point that this is not a unifying motion?
Oh, of course it isn't. Not at all. I mean, but just because a motion isn't unifying doesn't mean that you bring it. I'm not saying it's an easy motion to bring, and I'm not saying I didn't give a lot of thought about it. I chose to do this out of myself. I had no... It's something that I decided, something I put on the long finger for a while, because I knew what was coming, really.
We've also heard evidence from Sandra Cawley, sister of John Paul and former partner of Wenio Rodriguez da Silva, and we've heard from her brother, Charlie. Sandra Cawley told the court that she was living at 2 Ardoctor Ballyduff with her two children and her then partner, Wenio Rodriguez da Silva. John Paul and Charlie were staying there also. She recalled a day when Bruno Lemes de Sousa called to the house. Wenio arrived back from work and Bruno was with him. Wenio had previously told her that someone was coming to sell a car. Wenio and Bruno were speaking in the kitchen, and at one point when Wenio left the kitchen, Sandra went in and spoke to Bruno. She said, Jerry, she got butterflies when he said his name was Bruno, as Wenio told her before that Bruno had said her voice was sexy and she was probably hot. Later, she asked Wenio why Bruno was there. He said it was because he was going to beat him up. After some time, she heard a loud noise. She went out and saw John Paul, Wenio and Bruno in the laundry room. Bruno with his hands over his head ducked down and Wenio with a bar in his hand. She said Bruno asked her to call the guards while Wenio told her to get out. She heard two more loud noises and later met the three men and her other brother, Charlie, on the stairs. Wenio was leading Bruno by a rope that had his two hands tied together. She said she remembered Charlie and Bruno coming down the stairs. She said Bruno looked terrified. His hands were still bound by the orange twine. Wenio then asked her to get into the car with the kids. She said she didn't want to, but he told her again to get into the car. She then told the court that she wanted to take action, but she was afraid to. They travelled in two separate cars to Shrone Own Bog. She said Wenio and John Paul led Bruno, who looked like he was struggling, into the bog. When they returned without Bruno, Miss Cawley claimed Wenio told her, "Don't worry, he's dead." She says John Paul then told her in detail on the journey back to their house that he and Wenio had stabbed Bruno. On that journey, she said John Paul threw clothes from the car and threw two knives from a bridge into a river. When they returned to the house, she said Wenio told her to clean up the blood in the laundry room. Now, about a week later, Sandra said Bruno's girlfriend reported him missing to the Gardaí in Gort. She claims Wenio told her he'd been using Bruno's phone to text Bruno's girlfriend, telling her he was in Cork and he owed Brazilian and Irish men money for drugs. Gardaí came to the house, she said, and they spoke to Wenio. She told the court after the Gardaí left, Wenio warned her and her brothers that if the Gardaí came back, that we'd have to have the same story to tell them. A few days later, the Gardaí returned and made arrests. She said at the time she was scared and told them she didn't know what was going on. She was afraid of Wenio, who she claims threatened to take her children. What a remarkable achievement for a 26-year-old, a gold medal.
I think she most likely have half the adult men in the country in tears at the moment, including myself. You know, it's so special when you work with young fellas, seeing some have gone on to achieve it. It means that any young fella looking today is watching it and saying, I can do it. Or any young girl can look at it and say, we can do it. You're taking on the greatest, strongest nations in the world that have all their money behind them, and you're beaten. You don't know, when you work with young fellas over the years, the group of us that are in the boxing club together, Noli Kelleher, Tommy Kelleher, the brother Con, Seamus Mahoney, we've all worked together the last 20 years together, and never with success like this. But when you see it for some other club, it's as good as winning it for yourself.